This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and strength to our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do keep that extraordinary passage from the book of Acts in front of you, and also the sermon outline that you should have got on the way in the door. I want to begin with a question. What time is it? Well, according to the ancient Greeks, there are two ways to answer that question. One is chronos, and we get the word chronometer from that, or chronology, and it means linear time, the time measured by the clock or the calendar. The time of day, the time that succeeds from day to day, from week to week, from year to year, time in sequence. The other type of time is kairos. Kairos is a decisive, era-defining moment that tells us what the current age is about. The fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 was a decisive kairos moment that reshaped an era. 9/11 in 2001 was another. And COVID too was a before and after moment. I mean, only on Friday I heard myself saying, that was before COVID. Something happened before then. The world is different now. We do experience such moments, but we do also live in a culture that's confused about significance and doesn't quite know what to make of these historic moments, or what to call history, how to understand the significance of its present time. Everything is called historic. I heard a YouTuber the other day talk about YouTube history, world championship wrestling history. Every celebrity has an era. Taylor Swift marks off each album as an era. Michael Jackson had a world tour called history. The trivial has become momentous, and the truly momentous becomes easy to miss. But here, in the second chapter of Acts, the day of Pentecost, we have an announcement of something infinitely significant, truly momentous, a truly kairos moment, not merely a point in time, but the dawning of God's final age. The power and the holiness of heaven itself has erupted into ordinary time, and nothing will ever be the same again. Pentecost is not merely an unusual spiritual experience. It is God announcing that history itself has entered its final age. Now, the disciples have been waiting in Jerusalem as they were instructed by Jesus, and then he left them. And so they're waiting around for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there is this powerful explosion of the presence of God himself amongst them. We read these words, "Suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them." It looks like utter chaos, a complete commotion, a riot. The presence of God has fallen on the apostles, not as a gentle whisper of a breeze or a still small voice in their hearts, but as a gale force blast of divine breath. The holy flame of God's life sits upon them now. And what does it empower them to do? What's the impact of this? Well, it opens their mouths to speak in other languages. At that time, there was a large gathering, a conference of Jews from across the diaspora. Jews had been settling in all parts of the known world, and now they returned to Jerusalem. And these Jews from all points of the compass now heard them declaring the wonders of God in their heart tongues. The Phrygians, the Elamites, the Romans, and all the rest. From all points of the compass, if you look around, of course, you've got the Egyptians, you've got the Mesopotamians, you've got the people from what we now know as Turkey. The Bible calls it Asia. And this wasn't just what Google Translate does. The Spirit enabled them to speak, not just the hearers to hear. What does this mean? Well, that's the question that the crowd has as it gathered around this hot, huge commotion. And some people just thought they were out of their minds. This was a ridiculous scene of over-the-top enthusiasm. These people, surely, they're just completely off their trees drunk. They're totally munted, you might say. No, says Peter. It's far too early for that. It's only 9 o'clock. This is not that. This is the dawning of a new era. It's the final chapter in the human story, as the prophet Joel foresaw. And so Peter takes us on a bit of a Bible lesson here, introducing for us the prophet Joel, and quotes him as saying, in the last days, these things will happen. In the last days. That is, those last days that were prophesied about back in the book of Joel, they are now coming to pass. You were witness to them. The fulfillment of all the millennia of prophecy dating back to Abraham and Moses has come about. We are living at the end of days, and nothing will ever be the same again. It's a truly momentous moment. Why is this era different? Before Jesus, humanity lived under the terrible curse of death. From Eden to Pentecost, we might say, that is the era of the reign of death. Death reigned over humankind. Once they went out of the garden in rebellion from God, they suffered the curse of death. From dust we came, to dust we shall return. That is the inevitability of human life under the reign of death. But now, says Peter, the central tragedy of the human condition has been overcome. Now not death reigns, but life. What happened to Jesus was a reversal of the curse of Eden. As death entered the world through Adam and Eve, so now Jesus has put death to death. He has destroyed the agony of death by dying for sin upon the cross and rising once more, because, says Peter, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Though he died, he could not stay dead. Jesus' death was not the triumph of wickedness, though it seemed to be at the time, but God's deliberate, ancient plan foretold in the old writings. He's been exalted to the right hand of God and has now poured out the Holy Spirit. Every human era is haunted by, is eventually swallowed up by death. Babylon, the great nemesis of the Israelites in the Old Testament, it looked eternal, yet it lasted really only a few years, 70 years or so. Rome called itself the Eternal City. The British Empire has now fallen. The Soviet Union looked eternal, immovable in its day. Every age announces itself as permanent. Every empire, every power says, we are the present and we are the future. We control time. But they all go down into the grave. Trump, Putin, Xi, they will not stay in power, for they will die. Peter declares that only one kingdom has broken the power of death itself. Look at verse 36. Let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Whatever other kings arise, or whatever walls are built or destroyed, whatever lines are drawn on maps, whatever armies are brought forward, whatever missiles are shot, whatever wars are fought, we live in the time of Jesus, the living and exalted King. Pentecost is the public evidence that Jesus is alive and exalted. Dead men do not pour out the Spirit of God. The coming of the Spirit of God is proof that he reigns. And so our hopes no longer fall with fashions, governments, or interest rates, but are found in the indestructible life of Jesus, the risen Lord. But what is the purpose of this era? Why has God strung out the chronos of this kairos now for 2,000 years? Well, Peter tells us, now is the time for the great announcement of God's salvation to human beings through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The present era is now for the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ to the nations, to every corner of the earth. The old era, it was marked by the division of humanity. The Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 is a story that tells us of a proud humanity determined to make their name against God, to defy him by building an extraordinary tower up into the heavens. They were then cursed with the confusion of their languages and by being scattered across the face of the earth. God then chose one people, the people of Israel, to reveal his holiness and his saving mercy to human beings. To find him, you had to come to Jerusalem. We human beings continue to long for unity, and yet human history continually produces division. We build towers and nations and movements and ideologies, and still we cannot overcome our fragmentation. It seems inevitable that we will be divided, just as it seems inevitable that we will die. But in the new era, there is the hope that the peoples of the earth will now gather together under the one ruler of the earth, the exalted Jesus as Lord and Messiah. And this is the great and glorious day of the Lord, when everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't underestimate that word, everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, in whatever language they call it. The good news is no longer confined to one language, but has spread abroad in every language. If at Babel, language became a sign of judgment, at Pentecost, language now becomes a sign of mercy. Peter puts it like this in verse 39. He says, the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. As the book of Acts will show, this is not confined to people who call themselves Jews or Israelites. This is now good news for any human being who turns to the Lord. Mercy is on offer. The day of the Lord's salvation is here. Everyone, and that means anyone, can be saved by calling on Jesus. Salvation is not a matter of belonging to a particular tribe or coming to a particular place, but is offered to anyone. And it's an invitation that comes to us today and to our friends, family, workmates, and neighbors. It comes to anyone in any place in the world. In the past 2,000 years, we have seen the extraordinary declaration of the Lordship of Christ across the world in languages that weren't even thought of in the days of Acts 2. English, for example. Mandarin, for example. It is extraordinary to know that the most translated book in all human history is the Bible. That there are people to this day working to write down the languages of very small people groups so that they will know the name of Jesus and call upon him. To those who might seem very far off indeed, the good news has come. Well, what shall we do? I have to say, it's a sign of a good sermon when your congregation at the end says, okay, we agree with you, now what shall we do? This is exactly what happened to Peter here. It's the question that comes when the truth cuts through, when you are cut to the heart. Because if Pentecost is true, then Christianity is not just a lifestyle choice amongst many. It means that history has changed. Jesus is now alive, and every human being has to decide what they will do with him. What shall we do? Well, the answer is we need to get with the times. People often say that the church should be more in tune with the times, by which I think they mean we should be more in tune with contemporary ethical fashions or be cooler somehow, more relevant, whatever that might mean. But of course, it all depends on what your yardstick for relevance is, for the times change, don't they, decade to decade. But we've been told what time it really is, and it's those times we need to get with. We're not living in the age of Caesar. We're not living in the age of markets or of algorithms. We're not even living in the age of AI or the age of the iPhone. It's not the age of progressive or conservative politics. It's not even the age of death. It's the age of the risen Jesus Christ. The world crucified him. It tried to do away with him. It tried to extinguish him, and yet it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And so now the Spirit has been poured out and his kingdom has begun. The great announcement of his reign is going out to the ends of the earth, even to Australia, even beyond us, to New Zealand. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means that you and I, we no longer have to accept the terms of the old era. This is the real spiritual challenge for us. We're so easily swayed, or we so easily believe the inevitability of death and division. We so easily accept those terms, the terms of that old era: anxiety, decay, division, disappointment, death. Living in that age means captivity to fear. It means self-protection. It means trying to save yourself through success or pleasure or status or control. It's a haunted age, where guilt and death still stalk us. But in Jesus, those things have no hold on us at all. That age is obsolete. We can shake our fist at death. Death, be not proud, though some have called thee. Thou art not so. Why are you so arrogant then, death? For you, death, have been put to death. So what are we to do? Well, it's in verse 38. It's really simple. Repent and be baptized, says Peter, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Call on the name of Jesus Christ. Turn to him. Turn away from the old age. Turn into the age of Jesus Christ. Call on him and be saved, and you will receive the life of his Spirit in you, cleansing you from sin and guiding you in the way of his kingdom. If you have already turned to Jesus Christ, if you call on his name, then know that God's living Spirit indwells you, enables and empowers you. To repent, as Johnny said a couple of weeks ago, means more than feeling sorry. It means laying down your claim to rule your own life. It means stop living in defiance of God, like it's the old era where death and division are inevitable and supreme. It means entrusting yourself to the risen King who is the conqueror of death. So what time is it? Time for me to stop, you might say. We're living in the last days. It's the era of the great announcement of the day of God's salvation. For the risen Jesus is Lord, and death itself has begun to die. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.